Welcome back to HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen along with you. Celiac disease appears to be on the rise in this country, affecting about one in every 130 people. Also, recent evidence has indicated a high prevalence of celiac disease in patients with type 1 diabetes. All in all, these figures point to the need for many to live their lives gluten-free. But exactly how do we do this continues to be a challenge. Joining us this morning with some answers is Beth Hilson, gluten-free chef, cookbook author, and founder of the Gluten-Free Pantry, a line of gluten-free products. She is also president of the American Celiac Disease Alliance and a food editor for Living Without magazine, the magazine for people with food allergies and food sensitivities. Welcome, Beth.
Thank you, Linda. I'm delighted to be here.
Yes, it's wonderful to have you. Quite an extensive resume here, and we'll get to that in a little while. First, tell us how you got into this line of work.
Well, I was diagnosed with celiac disease many years ago when there wasn't anything available. And so I became a pioneer. I had to discover for myself what I could and couldn't eat. I had some basic guidelines when I was diagnosed and no resources. So I went to culinary school and I picked up the recipes and realized if I substituted gluten-free ingredients for gluten-filled ingredients, I could make something that approximated all those delicious foods I missed. And by not missing those foods, I was then not cheating on my diet.
And not feeling deprived.
So
let's, for the sake of our audience, let's just review celiac disease and why you need to be gluten-free. It's an autoimmune disease, and it's often inherited. Is that correct?
That's right.
Tell us more about it.
Well, it's an autoimmune disease that usually expresses itself in the small intestine. And it's an inflammation when you introduce gluten to your diet and wears down the cilia in the lining of the small intestine.
Those are the little fingers that
stick
up.
Those are the little finger-like projections. And those are the projections where all of our vitamins and nutrients are absorbed. So it's also called malabsorption syndrome, which, for obvious reasons. But people often present with a variety of different symptoms. And some of them can be gas and bloating and diarrhea and constipation, weight loss or weight gain. But you can also have no symptoms and still have the disease. And the feeling is that about 30% of people don't have major symptoms, and it's only when the secondary symptoms arise that people discover that they have the disease. And those might be things like infertility, bone density issues, osteoporosis, terrible headaches, it might be neuropathies, anemia.
So it's the gluten is the protein that is found in things like wheat. Where else is it found?
It's found in wheat, rye, barley, and also oats that could be contaminated. Mm-hmm. It's a chain of amino acids. It's a seven-chain amino acid because rice and corn also have gluten, but it's a different kind. So if you have this gene and this autoimmune disease, when you introduce gluten to your diet, then you have a reaction to it. And it causes an inflammation, which we're now realizing is not a good thing to be having in your body.
And all these other secondary possible
That's correct.
Disease
right.
entities that follow, other autoimmune problems as well.
Right.
So treatment is basically a gluten-free diet.
It is.
That's all we have
it is.
Right now.
Right.
Okay.
Imagine that eating a brownie could be your medicine. It's pretty neat.
If, in fact, it doesn't have gluten.
Right. Exactly.
Otherwise, it could be.
Yes, it could be.
Your
problem.
Poison. That's right.
Yes.
So are there people, is there a continuum in terms of people who have gluten insensitivity versus real celiac disease?
One of the things they're discovering now is that there is a group of people in the world that seems to have a reaction to gluten that is not autoimmune, but has all the similar characteristics except the autoimmune component. So
Which
when
means
you
what?
Well, the autoimmune component actually can be detrimental to your health and actually can produce even lymphomas. So if you're celiac, you would have that autoimmune component. If you have gluten sensitivity, you might have the gas and the bloating and those kinds of symptoms when you eat gluten. but you would not have the autoimmune reaction.
And they can determine this through some kinds of blood assay testing?
It's harder to diagnose. I think there's a lot of research going on right now because the estimate is that between 18 and 20 million people might have gluten sensitivity. So it's a big, you know, it's getting a lot of attention. But there aren't too many things. I think usually it's treated right now by just removing gluten from the diet.
So getting back to that, excuse me, that seems to be the major thrust, obviously. The treatment seems to be, no matter what the underlying cause, is to get rid of gluten. How hard is that to do today?
It's not as difficult as it was when I was diagnosed. There are many, many more products available. And restaurants seem to have a what I call is a high gluten-free IQ. Of course, you have to make sure that if you have celiac disease that you don't have cross-contamination issues when you're eating something in a restaurant, such as if the water is shared, you know, for pasta. Yeah, people might get sick from that. But for in general, it's much higher than it was. It's much more, things are much more available.
Both restaurants and product lines.
That's right.
And you developed a product line. So
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
I understand is wonderful.
Well, it's very good. It's very versatile. And I started out making the products because there was nothing available. And this was back in the early 90s. Now there are tons of things available. But it's still, I mean, I use basic formulas from gluten-filled cookbooks, and I converted everything to gluten-free, which is the same thing I did in my cookbook, by the way.
Yeah, you have a new
makeovers,
cookbook.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So it's called Gluten-Free Makeovers,
yes.
And you offer 175 makeover recipes.
That's right, that's right.
Fabulous.
So it's the same. I think that's my probably my mantra is just substitute, substitute, substitute.
It's fantastic. So it sounds, from what I understand, that while most people with diabetes don't really have celiac disease, about 10% do.
That's correct.
So what about a gluten-free diet can help people with diabetes?
Well, first of all, it's type 1 diabetes. There's a correlation between type 1 diabetes and celiac disease, and you're right, it's about 10% of people with type 1 diabetes. The protocol these days is actually to test for celiac disease within a year of the diagnosis for type 1 diabetes. There are several aspects of the gluten-free diet that are beneficial for the general population, including people with diabetes. One is that you are much more aware of what you're putting in your mouth.
More mindful about
eating. And mindful, right, exactly. And, you know, you're not eating all the processed foods that can be very harmful, hydrogenated fats and empty calories. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so the main thrust of the diet, besides substituting gluten products, is also more of like a Mediterranean diet, fresh fruits and vegetables. Is that
part of
what you advocate?
Those are all, I do, definitely. I mean, those are all very healthy choices, and they are, you know, inherently gluten-free. Olive oil is one of my friends, my best friends, mm-hmm. personally. But also, there are some wonderful nutritionally dense flours that are gluten-free. And I think we've all been missing that for so long, and we have more choices than people who are gluten-filled,
actually. So name some of these flours.
Amaranth, quinoa, sorghum, chickpea flour, and they're all high in protein as well as fiber. And these flours are great to as whole grains, but they're also great to cook with. And they can be used for baking, they can be used as part of your blend. When you're cooking, they can be used to coat fish, chicken.
Someone pointed out to me, though, that with diabetics in particular, that some of these alternative flours maybe have a high glycemic index and therefore can create some difficulties in diabetics in terms of their ability to control their blood sugar.
Yes, exactly.
So and what do you recommend then?
Well, I would recommend the nutritionally dense flours we just talked about.
And they do not have a high glycemic index.
No, they're actually very good. They have probably, I think all of those I mentioned, you know, roughly 3 to 4 grams of protein per serving and 3 to 4 grams of fiber. And that's the kind of thing that you want to look for. But they're also great to bake with, and they taste good.
And they regulate, you say, they actually do regulate.
They moderate. And one of the drawbacks, I think, of the gluten-free diet in the past has been that it uses so many empty carb It provides an empty carb load. Lots of white rice flour, tapioca starch, corn starch, potato starch, and those are not as healthy. And you can feel, I mean, even if you're not diabetic, you feel that load and you feel that drop in your blood sugar maybe 20 minutes after you've eaten. So it's not as good a choice.
In the very little bit of time we have left, I have one other very quick question. Since celiac disease is an autoimmune disease, is there evidence that becoming gluten-free can help with other autoimmune diseases like RA, things like that?
There is an indication of that. It seems that, and more research is being done, but definitely people are reporting that they're feeling much better if they have a gluten-free diet, if they have RA or MS.
You wear so many different hats. I mean, you're a president of American Celiac Alliance, whatever. Where can people get more information about you and what you do?
Well, I have a website, glutenfreemakeoversplural.com. And then also you could go to gluten.net, which is a great source, the American Celiac Disease Alliance, which is americanceliac.org, and then also celiac.com.
Wonderful. We're going to link to all of those on our website.
Great.
Thank you, Beth, so much for joining
us
this
morning. It's a pleasure.
Thank
you.
My guest is Beth Hilson, gluten-free chef, cookbook author, and founder of Gluten Free Pantry, a line of gluten-free products. She's also president of the American Celiac Disease Alliance and a food editor for Living Without magazine, the magazine for people with food allergies and food sensitivities. We have to take a short break, but we'll be right back, so please stay right there. I'm Linda Cohen. This is HealthLink on Air, FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.